Hey, how you doing?
Or maybe we should be asking you, how'd you do in week one of the fantasy football season? Did you win in your season-long leagues, head-to-head matchup? Did you put in a lineup on DraftKings or FanDuel and win a couple of bucks?
Of course, that's a fugazi.
Nope, I have to tell you that these weekly games are not a fugazi. I actually won a modest amount of cash, played two games, won a little bit in each of them. If you do your research and put the time in, you'll get your just rewards, okay? So we finally come to a decision. We've got a regular schedule for you. I know it's been crazy trying to find this. Yeah, I know, some mock applause. But what we're going to do going forward is we're going to put together a quick show for you on Tuesdays. Today is Tuesday. We'll try to get it out to you as early as possible. But I know that many season-long players have to get their waiver wire moves in by late Tuesday. So I'll let you know who I think you should be focusing on. And over the weekend, either on Saturday or Sunday morning, we'll have an additional show. We're going to hit you with another one where we'll give you a preview of the upcoming matchups, make recommendations on who to start in your weekly lineups. We'll also have all kinds of fun like we usually do. And I think that this kind of show will be better suited to your fantasy needs. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Joe Gallina. At JoeGallina. I've been trying to tweet more regularly. I'm also retweeting important news that I'm aware of. I want to get it out to you, and you could hit me up with any lineup or waiver wire questions that you might have. Without further ado, let's take a quick look at some of my observations from week one and who I think you should be focusing on your league's waiver wire. I am Joe Gallina! And it's just a fantasy sports show. It's going to start right now. Okay, so one of the most telling stats, and I first heard it from Tony Cincotta, great host on Roto Experts in the morning, the broadcast on Sirius XM, but it's a great stat from week one, and it's that 70% of all touchdowns scored in week one in the NFL were the result of a pass. So all of you old schoolers who play fantasy football and insist on taking running backs with your first two picks, of which I have been one of those people up until this season, it's time to think about changing that strategy. I'm only playing in three leagues this season. But they are three very competitive leagues with guys and gals who know their fantasy football. And in two of those three leagues, my first pick was Antonio Brown. And in the other, I went with Eddie Lacy, who, if you listened to my earlier podcast, you'll know he was my number one rated running back. By the way, I won all three of my games this season so far. So I mean business this year. One thing of note is the number of injuries to wide receivers so far. Before week one, you had Green Bay's Jordy Nelson and Panthers wide receivers Kelvin Benjamin coming up lame for the rest of the year. Week one saw Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant, who's arguably one of the top three receivers in the game. He broke a bone in his foot, and it looks like he's going to miss up to 6 weeks of the regular season. Jason Witten, Terrence Williams, and Cole Beasley owners, hey, you're going to benefit from Bryant's absence. Witten actually scored two touchdowns against the Giants in week one. What a fiasco that game was. But with DeMarco Murray moving on, maybe we'll see that Jason Witten will get involved more in the Cowboys' passing game this season, as opposed to staying back to block like he did last year. Washington Redskins wide receiver DeSean Jackson is going to miss 3 to 4 weeks as he recuperates from a hamstring injury. That means more targets for Pierre Garçon and tight end Jordan Reed. And Andre Roberts is someone to take a look at. He becomes Kirk Cousins' number two receiver while Jackson is out. You had a lot of fantasy experts who were skeptical about Carlos Hyde, running back for the 49ers, and he wasn't being drafted until the fourth round in most leagues. He looked real good on Monday night against what is supposed to be a very good Vikings defense. He had some awesome spin moves, 168 yards on the ground, just a big night for Carlos Hyde. And speaking of the 49ers, their defense looks pretty good so far. Not many people, including myself, thought much of the 49ers coming into this season, but they played very aggressively. They were getting to the quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, was under pressure, it seems, all night. I'll say it again. I think too many fantasy owners were too high on Teddy Bridgewater after he had finished off last season with some pretty strong performances down the stretch. Speaking of defenses, how about the Denver and Baltimore game, the Broncos and the Ravens? Two really good-looking defenses doing battle in that one. Broncos came up big, interception late in the fourth quarter to stop the Ravens' attack. But those two defenses look like they're in midseason form so far. I loved what I saw out of wide receiver Julian Edelman all the way back on Thursday. Remember? Week one started on Thursday. Pats versus Steelers. Looks like he's going to be one of Tom Brady's top targets. Always good for 80 to 100 catches, Edelman is. What do you think about Adrian Peterson? At times he showed flashes of his old self on Monday night against the aforementioned San Francisco 49ers. How about the play where he carried, it looked like, about four defenders for an extra 5 or 6 yards? That was impressive, but overall, he couldn't get into the rhythm of the game. He said he felt uncomfortable being handed the ball out of the shotgun, heavy Viking offense. I wasn't high on him coming into the season. At 30 years old, he missed a full year. But, hey, let's give him a break. It's only week one. I'm going to reserve judgment on him for another week or two. Just for the record, when I had the opportunity, like I said before, I had the opportunity to draft him. But instead, I took Eddie Lacy in one league and Antonio Brown in another. Just saying, hey, look, just overall, it is week one. Let's stop with the knee-jerk reactions. Peterson, like I said, I wasn't high on him, but I'm going to give him a little slack. He's earned it, right? He's had some kind of a career. Let's check out our week one waiver wire pickups that I promised you. These are in no particular order, by the way. As I mentioned, it looks like the Cowboys are going to be using a running back by committee this season, and Lance Dunbar looks like he's going to have a significant role in their offense. He caught all 8 of the passes that came his way for 70 yards. He is someone that you're going to want to target this week on the waiver wire if he's available, especially if you play in PPR leagues. Colts wide receiver Dante Moncrief is getting a lot of attention. He's going to be one of the hottest waiver wire ads this week. T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck's number one target, might have to miss some time due to a knee injury. And Andre Johnson, Luck's second wide receiver, only caught 4 of his 10 targets. He looked a little sluggish. It looks like he's shown his age a bit. But, hey, again, it is only week one. But rookie Philip Dorsett has got a lot of learning to do. So look for the Colts to target Moncrief more in the next couple of weeks. He does have a tough matchup against a Jet D this week, so keep that in mind. But he's going to be one of the hottest players being taken off the waiver wire. Rashad Green, wide receiver for the Jaguars. This guy came out of nowhere, targeted 13 times. He caught 7 passes, 28 yards, and scored a TD. Unfortunately, he suffered a back contusion. It was first thought he had a concussion, but Green starts the season as the Jags' third wide receiver behind Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. And Marquise Lee has been battling a hamstring issue, so that has given Green a chance to show what he could do. But look, he might not play this week, but keep an eye on him for the future. He, again, with that back contusion, he might not be in your lineup, but he's definitely somebody on your waiver wire to check out. Dwayne Allen, he's a tight end who always knows how to find the end zone. Last season, he caught 8 TD passes in 13 games that he played. He's got one of the two top quarterbacks in football, Andrew Luck, getting the ball to him. So he scored a touchdown this week. Keep an eye out for Dwayne Allen if you need help at tight end. Texans wide receiver Nate Washington should be available in many leagues, but with the Texans already benching Brian Hoyer in week one and the uncertainty of who's going to start in quarterback for week two, don't expect big production from Washington every week. He did catch 6 of 11 targets for 105 yards this past week. wide receiver Marquise Wilson for the Bears was only targeted 2 times this past week, but he caught both of them, one of which was a 50-yard reception. He's a big play guy, someone to keep an eye on, with the Bears likely to be playing from behind a lot this year. He may be someone who could eventually turn into a regular flex play for your team. With first-round pick wide receiver Kevin White possibly out for the entire season, the Bears may turn to and take advantage of his speed. San Diego tight end Ladarius Green didn't get too much love in preseason drafts. He had a 218.3 ADP. If you need help at the tight end position, keep in mind that San Diego quarterback Phillip Rivers loves to throw to his tight ends. Green was 5 for 74 along with a TD week 1. Of course, Antonio Gates will be back after week 4. And with the history that he has as one of Rivers' favorite receivers, Ladarius may eventually find out that
it's not that easy being green.
Yeah, that's Kermit the Frog singing the blues right there. But who knows? Maybe these 4 games could be the opportunity that Ladarius Green needs in order to develop some chemistry with his quarterback. Benny Cunningham is the 3rd running back on the Rams' depth chart behind Trey Mason and Todd
Gurley, man.
It's actually at Todd Gurley, but Gurley's not ready for live game action. He's still recovering from off-season surgery to repair his torn ACL, and Mason is nursing a hamstring issue, so Cunningham could be a short-term solution to any running back issues that you might be having. He didn't run too well, only 2.8 yards per carry in week 1, but he did catch 4 of 7 targets for 77 yards, so if you play in a PPR league, he might be able to give you a hand. The Rams do play the Redskins in week 2. I wasn't high on Bishop Sankey, the running back for the Tennessee Titans, and even after a week where he rushed 12 times for 74 yards and he caught 2 passes for 12 yards and actually even rushed for a TD, not too bad, right? I'm still lukewarm on him, all right? He did fumble, he had a drop, but overall he played well. It's just that you never know how his head coach is going to use him from week to week. I had already mentioned in an earlier podcast episode how it seems that if he could turn back time, Wisenhunt might never have drafted Sankey. Terrence West, who the Titans traded for, they got from Cleveland, didn't do too much for his own case to be a starting running back for this team. He got stuffed at the 1 on 3 successive attempts, and rookie running back David Cobb is on the IR and won't be eligible to play until week 10. I guess Sankey, based on that, is worth a shot, that you know that he'll get some reps. When I look to the waiver wire for help on offense, I always look to the top offenses in the league, and I always look for a nugget out of those top offenses, maybe just a crumb, right? San Diego wide receiver Stevie Johnson caught all 6 of his targets for 82 yards, and he added a touchdown. San Diego quarterback Phillip Rivers has another 3 games without his most reliable receiver, Antonio Gates, as I mentioned before. So Johnson should see some looks coming his way in the next few weeks. What you're looking for, basically, is an established quarterback who starts to develop chemistry with a receiver who wasn't on anyone's radar in preseason drafts, right? Check out Saints wide receiver Brandon Coleman, caught 4 of 7 targets, scored a touchdown in week 1, looking for him to see if he's going to be maybe creep up as maybe a wide receiver too. Of course, Marquise Colston is still there. He got 7 targets this past week. But I guess when a quarterback like Breeze has a week like he just did, where he has 48 pass attempts, there are going to be lots of receivers who are going to get lots of attention. And of course, James Jones, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers that they recently picked up. He's going to be another hot name coming off the waiver wire along with Dante Moncrief. He had a big week in week 1, 2 touchdowns. He's got Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. Remember in 2012, he did score 14 TDs for the same Packers, so we know he's good in the red zone. Hey, go get him, but let's temper our expectations on him, okay? It's only week 1. Remember that knee-jerk reaction that I'm talking about here, all right? Seattle wide receiver Jermaine Kearse is a wide receiver that maybe you should keep an eye on. He was targeted 10 times, had 8 catches for 76 yards. Really, usually not much fantasy value in any Seahawks receivers, but he is someone to keep an eye on. Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seahawks, threw a lot more passes than he usually does in this past matchup. Austin Seferian Jenkins, tight end for the Tampa Bay Bucks. He bailed out Jameis Winston by catching five passes for 110 yards, two touchdowns. He was a bigger part of the Bucks offense because Mike Evans was out, right there, number one wide receiver. But he is expected to be active for them in week two. So Jenkins might not see as many targets as he did in week one. Still, there seems to be some chemistry between Jenkins and Winston. And Winston is still developing. So if he likes Jenkins, likes getting him the ball, that's something to keep an eye out for, okay? Now, I don't mean to be one of those knee-jerk kind of fantasy players that I just mentioned that I preached to you about, but it wouldn't surprise me if Marcus Mariota has a better overall season than Jameis Winston. Remember, these are the two top rookie quarterbacks coming into 2015. But on the other hand, Winston might have the better overall career. But, I mean, we're getting way ahead of ourselves here. But Mariota didn't run as much as I thought he would. He only attempted 16 passes. But wide receiver Kendall Wright caught all four of his targets for 101 yards. If he's going to be the number one guy for Mariota, he's somebody that you should take a look at on the waiver wire. Remember that Wright had 94 catches in 2013. So in PPR leagues, he might be somebody that could give you a hand. It's not going to be all sunshine and flowers for Mariota. He's going to have his ups and downs this season, but you have to be encouraged at the way he picked apart that Bucs defense. We can just go on and on and on. Believe me, as the weeks wear on, you're going to see more and more players that you're going to be interested in picking up off the waiver wire, people that you've never heard of, right? When it's this early in the season, I always like to think that at least one of your permanent starting running backs or wide receivers has yet to make their presence known to you. That was pretty profound, don't you think? This week, I'm my own personal ads. I'm going to try to add Lance Dunbar. I'm dropping Marvin Jones in order to get him. Let's see if I can actually get him. Because, like I said, I play in a league with a lot of people that know what they're doing, and I'm sure they're going to be targeting Dunbar. And they're pretty deep league, so there's not that much on the waiver wire. And then in another team, one of my last picks was Monty Ball. I thought maybe he might have an opportunity to get picked up by a decent team. But last I've heard, the Browns were looking into him. So that doesn't excite me. I'm dropping him, and I'm going to try to pick up Nate Washington if no one beats me to him. So, like I said, I'm playing in a 12-teamer, a 14-team league, and a 16-team league with some people that know what they're doing. So the waiver wire doesn't have too much to offer. So we'll see if I can get my guys. So that's it for now. Like I said, our Tuesday show is just going to be a quick in and out. We're going to tell you who we think you should be focusing in on the waiver wire. Just a quick observation of what happened in the previous week. I wanted to make it just a quick visit with you prior to you having to put in your waiver wire moves. We'll go into how week one's results will affect how week two will play out in more detail in a weekend visit. We'll go into a lot more depth over the weekend. We'll also go over who I think you should be plugging into your weekly fantasy lineups. We'll have lots of fun. We'll keep it fast-paced and lighthearted. As always, I want you to keep moving straight ahead, because if you do, then all of your fantasies will become realities. I am Joe Galita. Thanks for checking out It's Just a Fantasy Sports Show. Until we meet again.